You are listening to the Fit Figure Formula podcast. I help female perfectionists beat self-sabotage and lose the weight for good using the Fit Figure Formula coaching program. I'm your host, Stephanie Riles, registered dietitian, personal trainer, and mindset transformation coach. If you've been struggling with all or nothing thinking, negative self-talk, or self-sabotage, this is the podcast for you. Learn how to get consistent and become the best version of yourself from the inside out. So let's get started. Welcome to episode 6. So today I'm going to be talking about emotional eating. In this episode, you're going to learn how to recognize when you are emotionally eating. You're going to learn how to handle emotional eating in the moment, but also how to avoid emotional triggers in the first place. And this is exactly what I help my clients with inside of the Fit Figure Formula coaching program. So I have a 16-week macros and mindset program where I not only couple the strategy of hitting your macros every single day without having to track every day with the mindset principles that you're going to need to get consistent and see the results that you deserve. So let's get into the episode. So first, how do you even know if you are an emotional eater? I would say that I would not have identified with this at one point until I recognized that during a stressful period of my life, I would always go to Summer Moon Cafe and I would get a Summer Moon latte. And I don't even like coffee, y'all, but this Summer Moon latte is so bomb. Like, it is so good. And I think it has like espresso and like a whole bunch of what they call moon milk. And I have no idea what moon milk is, but I promise you it's a little piece of heaven. Okay. It is a whole lot. I'm sure it has a whole bunch of fat and a ton of sugar because it's super sweet, but it's so good. And I didn't realize that every time I would get stressed or something, I would go to Summer Moon through the drive-thru and get a Summer Moon latte. And I would get it on kids temp. Because anytime I drink anything, a lot of my friends know, like, I don't sip on things. Like, I just like to chug stuff. But I would kind of sip it, but I didn't like it to be super hot. So I was always getting it kids temp so that I could, drink it as fast as I wanted. And I didn't at first realize that I was emotionally eating, but this is exactly what was happening. And I wonder if there are times where you are also emotionally eating, but you're not actually recognizing that that is what it is. So I kind of want to go through some ways that you may be able to recognize that you are emotionally eating. So I think one of the classic identifiers is, are you eating more when you're stressed? So some of my clients will literally just eat more frequently, or they may even eat more volume when they're feeling some kind of way. And I think this is like the classic, what I think of anyway, when I think of emotionally eating it, I feel triggered. So I'm going to go to a comfort food to soothe my emotions. Another way that you can kind of recognize this also is, are you rewarding yourself with food? And this is kind of a tricky one because in our culture, if we're celebrating a birthday, if we're celebrating a graduation, if we are doing anything, we're like, where's the food? And we're eating with it to celebrate or to mourn or whatever. We are having food. And so we really have to be asking ourselves, and this is why it's so important to be in tune with you and have a relationship with yourself to know if this is happening. Because it's so culturally ingrained in us to gather and eat. So it could look like you're rewarding yourself with food and or alcohol, or in my case, a Summer Moon latte. Are you regularly eating until you are stuffed? So I actually think, thinking back now, I probably did this at one time too. And I think I mentioned this on a previous episode. I've always loved food and I've always like, I can eat kind of a lot. But being an athlete, I really didn't have to worry too much. You know, you're young, I was a college athlete and I just ate whatever I wanted. But I also, at one point, this is like as I'm an adult, I'm already a mom. And I would literally eat so much. I have this one friend, I don't know if she'll watch this episode, but you know who you are if you are listening to this episode. We would go eat all the time, and I literally would eat so much that my stomach would hurt, my back would hurt. And at times, there were times where I would have to go and like lay my seat back in my car and like wait, because I had eaten so much. And at the time, I don't think I was recognizing like I'm emotionally eating, but I was. So are you eating until you are stuffed, until your stomach is hurting? You may be emotionally eating. Does food feel safe, right? Does food feel like your friend? This may be a sign that you may be emotionally eating. And especially if we identify like what foods you typically go for. So I want you to think about when you are either stressed or angry or sad or lonely or rejected, what foods do you typically have? So for me, it was the summer moon latte. For you, it might be something salty or something crunchy or something sweet. It may be helpful for you to identify what foods you typically gravitate towards. Okay. So, and also think about like the thoughts that are going on in your mind when you are eating the thing or when you're about to choose to go and eat that particular food. What are the thoughts that are running in your mind? Are you thinking, I'm hungry? Are you thinking, this is going to be a balanced meal? Are you thinking, I'm just about to eat this and detach? Like, what are you actually thinking when you choose to eat the food? Do you feel powerless or out of control around food, right? Do you feel like, I had a client once who would just tell me like, well, they had work food. You know, my job brought in work food. And it was just like, I was like, okay, what does that have to do with you, right? Like it, you don't have to engage or partake in the work food because it's there. And sometimes we have this thing where like, if there's free food available, then we have to have it because it's either wasteful if we don't, or we kind of come up with some rule that we follow, even if it's true or not, that means that like, I don't have any control of the situation. It's here and I have to eat it. But that's actually not true, right? So another telltale sign might be that when you eat, you feel better or calmer, or you soothe yourself. And this kind of goes back to the feeling stressed, right? Because when we're feeling stressed, we're eating out of emotion to soothe ourselves, to feel better. Another way to recognize this is if you're eating when you're not hungry. So you may be eating and you're like, you're not in tune or connected at all with your hunger cues. You're just eating. And sometimes this can be like emotional eating. It can also be like mindless eating where you're not even like aware that you keep putting your hand in the popcorn bowl and you're just eating. You're not thinking like, am I satisfied yet? Have I had enough? It's just a matter of proximity. It's there. So I'm continuing to eat. This also might look like when you go and let's say you come home from work. And your typical routine, maybe you take a shower, you kind of unwind and you sit in your favorite spot on the couch. And when you hit that certain spot at that time of day, you might have your candy jar right there on the stand and you just eat the candy, right? And so that's kind of like another example of mindless eating where it's more of a habit. It's more about proximity and your brain's pattern to just kind of like do the same thing that it's always done. So that might also be you. And I think that some of the tips that I'll talk about today might also help you if you recognize that like I'm mindlessly eating as well, either on top of emotional eating or as a separate situation. So I want you to try to identify yourself in any of those scenarios where you may be eating when you're not necessarily physiologically hungry. Okay. So Why is emotional eating damaging? So for one, we're not connected with our feelings, right? A lot of times we say like we want to feel better, but in order for us to feel better, we have to be better feelers. We have to allow ourselves to feel emotions. And in life, life is 50-50, and there's going to be positive emotions. There's going to be negative emotions. There's going to be positive situations, negative situations. And we have to allow ourselves to be human and experience both. If we just try to experience the positive emotions and shut out the negative emotions, what we actually do is prevent ourselves from having, number one, a human experience. And we might be gaslighting ourselves. We might be emotionally eating so that we don't feel the negative. But then we're also blocking some of the good feelings that we could feel as well. So as good as the good feelings can get, right, the bad, there's also the pendulum can swing the other way as well. So we have to allow ourselves to be fully human and connected to our feelings in order to know, like, this is how I'm feeling, right? And like checking in with ourselves and asking ourselves, how do I feel? And then literally sitting in silence and allowing ourselves to feel what we feel and try to describe that feeling. And I do this a lot with my clients because a lot of times we don't allow ourselves to feel. We don't want to feel bad. So we don't ask ourselves questions. We're not taught to do this either. But we also don't want to feel bad. So we'll do anything to not feel the bad feelings. And that includes emotionally eating. So eating when you're not physiologically hungry may mean that you're eating more calories than what you need because it's not about hunger. Right? If it's not about hunger, then it doesn't matter the calorie density. It doesn't matter the volume. And that's how we kind of start to eat a little bit more calories than our body needs. And the macro breakdown might not be what you need. And you can start to see that right on the scale, in photos, and in your measurements. And we tend to eat things that are not in alignment with our goals when we're emotionally eating. Typically, it's not, you know, a salmon and quinoa when you choose to emotionally eat. Normally, when we're emotionally eating, it is calorie dense, nutrient deficient meals, or just eating in larger quantities than what we typically would. And the emotional hunger isn't satisfied when you're full because it was never about the food anyway, right? If it's not about the physiological hunger, when you eat the thing, you might feel a little bit better, but what typically happens is in comes guilt, in comes shame, in comes emotional spiraling. And then we start to beat ourselves up because we know we shouldn't have had that. And then we feel like, well, I just messed up all of my results this week because I overate. And even if that may or may not even be true, we act as if, and then quote unquote, we have to start over on Monday. And this is the cycle that I want to help you break. So emotional eating really is about temporary stress relief. We want to soothe ourselves in that moment, but it doesn't fix the problem. If you're stress eating because of work or your husband or your kids, they're still going to be there after you finish, you know, those two pieces of cheesecake. And I always use cheesecake because that's my favorite, y'all. But it's still going to be there. So it is a temporary solution that is not going to be beneficial in the long run. Now, what I teach my clients is, if you're a cheesecake fan like myself, I am going to, when I'm planning my meals and I know I want a cheesecake this week, I'm going to plan in the cheesecake. I am definitely not saying never have a treat. Not saying that at all. I never tell my clients not to have something, but I will ask them, what would your highest and best self do? The consequences, like everything that we do has a cause and effect. And if you're eating 2 to 3 pieces of cheesecake, let's say, is that what you want to be doing? Are you okay with the consequences that may come with doing that? And I will tell you that a lot of times, number one, we have to take off the guilt and shame, because it will happen sometimes. I forget, I was talking about it on my Facebook page at one point, and I think I like ate, I don't know if it was Oreos, or let's just say it was Oreos, because I think it might have been Oreos, but we had these Oreos. And every time I opened up my pantry, right, I didn't follow my own rule and put it in the back of the pantry versus having it in the front. And every time I opened up my pantry, there they were, and I would just take some. And I realized, like, I was like eating a majority of these cookies, and I didn't intend to do that. And I'm like, I ate so much of these. It's ridiculous. I ate a lot of them, but I don't tend to like guilt and shame myself. I used it as a teaching opportunity for ladies who might be following me who beat themselves up after they do this. And I say that to say that you are human. At times you will eat too many slices of cake. You might eat too many Oreos. And no, you haven't ruined all of your progress. No, you're not a failure. Literally, I dust myself off and just keep going. And literally the next day, I didn't think about it at all. Okay. So emotional eating will happen at times, or even mindless eating will happen at times. You are human. So I always like to tell my clients, if you keep verbalizing, I'm struggling with emotional eating, I'm struggling with emotional eating, I'm an emotional eater, you will never shake that identity. But I ask them to change one word instead of struggling to managing. I am managing emotional eating. That means that I'm in control of it. That means I may not have fully disconnected that issue from my experience, but I'm managing it. I am the one that's in control of it. So understand that, like, if you have a moment where you eat out of your emotions, that doesn't automatically mean that you have to identify yourself as an emotional eater, because we are all human and you might eat out of emotion at times. Then it comes down to, like, how often am I doing this? And am I continuing to verbalize like I am an emotional eater? And we have to unhook that. Okay. So we talked about how you can identify some ways that you might be showing up as an emotional eater, and the fact that emotionally eating is a temporary stress relief that can be changed, and your skill set to manage that moment is going to be really important. So understanding what your trigger is. So self-awareness is really that first step. Understanding what's the trigger. I know that, let's say, for example, certain seasons of the year when my job gets really busy, I know my stress goes up and I may eat more than what I want, right? It might be that you are eating more when you're on your cycle, or maybe it's holiday season and you have lost a loved one and food is already going to be abundant anyway, and there's lots of holiday parties and lots of holidays, and you know that that might be a trigger. But knowing that the trigger is coming, understanding that, like, I can see this before it hits, and now I can make an informed decision of how I would like to show up. This is really important. So if you're struggling to identify the triggers, I would definitely recommend keeping an emotional eating diary. When you catch yourself doing this, when you're eating and you're not even hungry, or you're eating till you're stuffed, keep a diary and write down what is it that you ate, so that you can kind of identify what foods you typically go for. What happened right before, or what emotions are you feeling right now? Like, kind of check in with yourself. This way you can start to identify a pattern whether it's as you're writing your diary, the stress, the trigger is stress, or the trigger might be loneliness, right? You can start to identify that trigger. So an emotional eating diary might really be a good place to start to increase that self-awareness. So I like to have my clients think through their craving. What would happen if you did not give into the craving? So let's say you're experiencing a craving for chocolate and you're like, man, I really want some chocolate. If you were to sit and just notice that this is the thought that's in your mind and just sit with that thought, notice what feelings come up, right? If you were to not give into the craving, what would happen? Absolutely nothing. Sometimes I tell my clients who are really struggling with this, it's like, just because we get a thought in our mind, and this goes for emotional eating, but also other things, we get a thought in our mind and it's like, okay, it's a thought. Like I had a thought. That doesn't mean that I have to act on that thought. It doesn't mean that, right? So another thing you can ask yourself is this temporary craving more important than my health goals? And I really like to focus more on what I want. So sometimes if I want to motivate myself to do something, I think about having the goal and how that's going to make me feel. And so I want you to kind of like visualize yourself and your health goals and why it's important to you. You might want to, you know, even write down like what you're committed to and why it's so important, right? Asking yourself those questions. What would happen if I don't give in to the craving? Is the craving more important than my health goals? And then a third really important question is, am I hungry? Because some of y'all are just hungry. You're just hungry and you may walk into the break room and there's a ton of pizza and you're just hungry. Or you might go somewhere and there's cake and you haven't eaten all day. And of course you're going to want the cake. Of course you do. So make sure that you have a plan. This is so important. This is what I teach my clients as well, is to obviously plan out your food and as much as possible, keep a flexible execution of that plan so that it's much easier for me to say no thanks to the second slice of cheesecake if I've eaten today, right? If I have had balanced meals and I have had fiber-filled carbs and lean protein and healthy fat on my plate and I've eaten today, I'm well nourished today. I have slept, you know, 7 to 9 hours this week at nighttime. Like, it's easier for me to manage cravings if I am well nourished. But if you're already starving in the first place, yes, you're going to be hungry. So sometimes it's really a matter of actually, if I have already prepped my food and I have this craving, it's more of like, let me just go eat my meal prep. As soon as I finish this meal prep, literally the craving is going to be gone. I'm going to be fine. So sometimes you're just hungry versus it being more of an emotional eating type situation. So one thing that I do like to have my clients do as well, if they know that, yes, I already ate and I'm having this emotional eating craving, we pick some emotional eating replacement behaviors. And what I like to do is just tell them to wait 5 minutes, right? So whatever that is, after you've asked yourself it really important questions like, okay, am I hungry? No, I'm not hungry. This is just an emotional eating type situation. Is this temporary craving more important than my health goals? Of course not. So then it's like, okay, what do I want to do about that? So I have them pre-pick. So you pick, what are the replacement behaviors that you want to adopt as your go-to thing, where I'm going to just start doing this for 5 minutes. It could be, I'm just going to take a walk, or I might journal about my goals for 5 minutes. I might cry. I might actually just need to go in my room, close the door, and just have a good cry instead of eat. I might actually just need to sit with myself. I might actually just need to read or listen to music or call my therapist, right? Or do some scrapbooking. Like, I might need to do something that is enjoyable for 5 minutes. And I'm literally talking about 5 minutes. After the 5 minutes is over, I want you to reevaluate. Do I still want the thing? Where is my craving now on a scale from 1 to 10? Is it less than it was before or more? And if you still have this like strong craving, go ahead and have the thing. This is just my philosophy. Have the thing. But when you eat it, I always recommend have a glass of water before and then eat slowly and mindfully. So don't gobble up the treat now. Okay. So don't gobble it up. You want to eat it slowly and mindfully. You might find that if you are able to eat it slowly and mindfully, you probably won't eat as much, right? It might just take you, you know, half the cheesecake and you're like, you know what? I'm good. Versus you eating the whole thing and more. So you can pick an emotional eating replacement behavior. Do that for 5 minutes, right? And try to wait out the craving while doing something that actually brings you some pleasure. But then if you're reevaluating, have the thing. And then the next time that this happens, maybe you want to extend the time to 6 minutes and you do your replacement behavior for 6 minutes instead. And then you come back and reevaluate. And you can continue to repeat this process until you extend it longer and longer. And I promise you that if you're extending it longer and longer, the craving will pass, especially if you know you're well fed, you have eaten. It's not like hunger and an emotional situation. You will find that you are extending your self-discipline and your ability to not have like instant gratification. This is going to help you feel more in control. Because remember, you're not struggling with emotional eating. You are managing emotional eating. Or you can even say, I am learning to manage emotional eating, right? Like, that's even better than just saying I'm an emotional eater, right? You want to eat the thing slowly and mindfully. And one thing that I didn't say as well about when you eat the thing, you really don't want to eat out of the carton. So I also love ice cream. Fun facts. Y'all learned a lot about me today. I love ice cream as well. And if I buy like the little small carton of ice cream, it's something about our brain. I don't know what it is, but you feel like you need to eat like until you're done, and you're done means the thing is empty. The carton is empty. But instead, what I do is take out my portion and put it in like one of my son's small bowls. And once I'm done with that small bowl, my brain feels like I'm done. What I'm not doing is eating out of the carton, because I still feel like if there's more in the carton, I'm still going to want to like eat the whole thing. So that helps me from overdoing it when I am having a treat. And you can use that hack even if you're not emotionally eating. But in this case, if you are choosing, this is the big thing. You are choosing to have the treat. You're not struggling. It's not winning. You're not in a fight and you're losing this battle. You chose, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and have this. I'm going to eat slowly and mindfully. I'm going to have some water beforehand, and I'm going to not eat out of the carton, and I'm going to put it in a smaller container, and I'm going to eat until I'm satisfied, and then I'm done. And that's what I'm choosing to do. So I will say that is an important small hack that you can do, is just putting it in a smaller container. And again, it's not about never emotionally eating. That is all or nothing. We've talked about that, and I will probably continue to talk about that as long as I'm speaking to perfectionists, because we have a lot of all or nothing thinking. We think that if we emotionally eat one time, then that means that we are an emotional eater. We have to like eradicate all emotionally eating in order to now be able to say that I don't do that anymore, that I'm not an emotional eater. And that's not true. You don't have to wait until the instances are zero. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to wait until you're perfect to declare, you know, I'm not an emotional eater, or I manage emotional eating, right? You don't have to be perfect. It's kind of like part of our human nature to eat, to eat foods that taste good. And this doesn't mean that you're a failure. It doesn't mean that you're an emotional eater. So I want you to start that shift of labeling yourself as an emotional eater. That is like one of the first steps that you can take in terms of your identity, being more aware, tracking it when it happens, documenting when it happens. That diary will be really important to identify some trends, create that replacement behavior, and execute that 5 minutes, 6 minutes, continue to extend the time that you're waiting, and you will see that you exhibit more control, and that will help you to get more and more confident and be able to unhook this identity that I'm an emotional eater and there's nothing that I can do about that. What is your process for ongoing long-term stress management? So many ladies that I talk to do not have a go-to practice for self-care or mindset or stress management. This not only is going to affect your results, because stress is a huge factor physiologically in terms of your health journey and your weight loss journey, but also is going to impact your mental health and therefore your emotional eating. So in addition to being able to manage a moment and ask yourself powerful questions, be self-aware, pick your emotional replacement behavior, and choose when you have the treat, it's really important to think about stress management and zoom out and think of it as a whole. How do I regularly take care of myself? How do I regularly take breaks from my kids, from a stressful job? I am a true blue Virgo. Okay. My birthday was this past Monday. It is mandatory for me to have some time alone. Like, this is mandatory for me. So I need to be unstimulated by noises, the TV, notifications on my phone, my children. I need some time by myself. That is really, really important to me. So that is one way that I take care of my mental health, by making sure that I have some time to myself. Am I taking breaks from work? Right? If you have a really stressful job, you need a day, you need a weekend where you're not working, that you literally unhook from work. Now, I am not that great at this, partly because I literally love my job. I love it, and I have so many ideas, and I always feel like there's so much to do and I need to do it all immediately. But I'm learning to take more breaks, and how much more refreshed I feel when I come back and I literally took a weekend of absolutely no working. I come back on Monday and I'm much more productive. Like, you think that you're going to get more done by just continuing to work, but you actually don't, because your brain is not as productive. So are you making sure to take breaks? Are you doing something fun? Inside of my coaching app, where I communicate with my clients and we also, you know, track habits and things like that, I have in the curriculum, did you do something you enjoy today? Like, did you laugh today? Are you doing something intentionally on purpose that you really like? This could be something as simple as after your shower. And this is me, right? I can just give you my examples and maybe some client examples as well. But it can be as simple as after a shower, that's like my time. I don't want to be bothered with kids. I want to put on my lotion, right? I want to be able to find me some cute pajamas, and I want to do my skincare routine. I've been loving Fenty skin products. Like, if you don't have that reset, the nighttime moisturizer reset, you are missing out on life. Like, you need to go get that immediately. So I like to, you know, brush my teeth, wrap up my hair if I'm wearing my hair straight. I like to have that time. Those few moments, that's self-care for me. What does it look like for you? What does it look like for you to take a few minutes, either every day or weekly at least, to do something that makes you happy? That might be going for a walk at the park. You might like to really ride your bike, or you might really like to paint. Or I have had clients who like to make crafts. What is it that you like to do? And are you doing that? Are you contributing to the world in a way that makes you feel like you're using your gifts, talents, and abilities? This is one thing that I actually, it's like one prayer that I have, that I want to be able to use the gifts that God gave me and my gifts, my talents, my abilities. And this is also one of the human needs that Tony Robbins talks about. Contribution. Like, we want to, as human beings, we want to contribute. We want to do things that make us feel like we're using our gift. And we want to laugh and just have some downtime. Are you doing that in your life? Because if not, if you have the propensity to emotionally eat or overeat, not managing your overall stress is going to contribute to that happening more often. So are you taking care of yourself just in general? This also includes getting good sleep. So many ladies are only getting like 5 or 6 hours of sleep. And this has a lot of physiological consequences that I think we discount in our weight loss journey. But it also can affect your cravings that you're having. So you definitely want to be making sure that you're prioritizing sleep, having that night routine, and getting to bed. Another way to take care of yourself and create some more stress management is also by moving your body. Whether that is a full-blown workout or walking, or stretching, or yoga, or dancing. Moving your body is so important, not only for your weight loss journey, but also for your mental health as well. For me, it is absolutely mandatory. Like, I do go through periods where I don't work out as much, but for sure, my mental clarity is so much better when I decide to move very consistently. So making sure that you are moving your body is part of stress management. I don't know if I shared this with you guys on the podcast. I know I shared it on my Facebook, but I had a deep tissue massage. It was a 90-minute deep tissue massage on my 40th birthday on Monday. And I have had deep tissue massages before. I'm that type of person. Like, first of all, I like a deep tissue massage. I don't really like light rubbing. So I love a deep tissue massage. However, I literally boo-hoo cried, y'all. I'm talking about, I had to gather myself. I had to ask this lady for tissue 2 times, and I literally like had a snot string from my nose to like one of the bars down at the bottom of like the headrest. That's how much I was crying. I don't know what she did, but I was asking her to make sure that she got my rhomboid area. She asked me, you know, if there was an area that I wanted her to focus on. And I said, yes, my rhomboid area. That's like right near your shoulder blades. And I was getting this massage, and at first it was hard for me to focus and like calm my mind. Then I started thinking about gratitude. And then I don't know, I just started releasing so much stress. And I'm saying this to say that our body is holding on to so much more than we can actually see, because this was shocking to me. Like, I was there crying and I'm like, oh my God, why am I crying? Why am I crying? Like, I was so confused. And I talked to a client of mine who is a therapist or a massage therapist. And she said that it happens all the time, like people will cry. I've asked multiple people now and they're like, oh yeah, I've done that before, but I had never heard that before. And it was really shocking. And I haven't read the book, The Body Keeps the Score. I've been meaning to read it. It's on my Audible. I feel like if I listen to that book, I'm going to need to like sit uninterrupted and just like really take it in. But I imagine that this might be something that they talk about in the book in terms of like holding on to something. So she is massaging my back and I felt like she was releasing so like a heavy, heavy burden. And even after I finished the massage, I was so emotional that entire day. It was so crazy. I don't even know if I'm explaining this well, y'all, but I literally feel like she lifted something off of me, and it came from my body, right? So not only is movement important, but taking care of your body. And for me that day was a deep tissue massage that I literally think changed my life. Like, I didn't know that I was carrying that. So I'm saying all this to say that our body is holding on to a lot of the stress that we're under, and that we may not even recognize it. And so it might be a massage for you. It may be a walk. It may be a good workout. It may be soaking in your tub, right? But constantly, weekly at least, making sure that you are decompressing your nervous system, that you are checking in with your emotions and your mental health, and not just powering through every day and going, trying to be more and more productive and never stopping, never taking a break. We're holding on to all of that in our body. And that was just a physical example that I could see so well that I was holding on to this, and it got released through these tears. So I just want to encourage you, if you don't have a long-term strategy to work on your mindset, your emotions, and your mental health, then you're going to want to adopt that in order to have a healthier relationship with stress management. And that will yield you showing up better in terms of emotional eating. When you're able to better manage your emotional eating, this puts you back in control, and you may feel like, oh, I can trust myself around the work potluck. I can trust myself going into a bakery. I can trust myself with the cheesecake and the ice cream in the freezer. I can trust myself. And I said this in a previous episode, but weight loss is all about your relationship with you. So the self-care component that is long-term and chronic is so important to how you show up in those smaller acute moments where you're having to manage the craving in the moment. So I hope that this was helpful in helping you to recognize emotional eating, in helping you to understand how to handle emotional eating in the moment, and also how to avoid emotional eating triggers altogether by working on your stress management and self-care. If this episode resonated with you, make sure that you check out the show notes. So I am giving away a one-on-one call with me to talk about anything macros and mindset. If you share the podcast, tag me on social and let me know that you are sharing, I'm going to be picking one lady to do a one-on-one call with me. So all you have to do is go to the show notes and find me on Facebook. One of those links is a link to my Facebook page. That's usually where I hang out the most. Tag me, make sure the post is set to public, and let me know that you are sharing. Let me know what tip helped you the most and what you're going to practice. And I will pick one person to do a one-on-one session with. And I will be doing this within the next week. So today is Saturday, the 23rd of September, 2023. So in 1 week from now, I will pick a winner and I'll actually announce that on the next episode. I also want to invite you to join the Fit Figure Formula. If you have enjoyed this past week of the beginning of the podcast, you are in for a treat inside of the Formula Coaching Program. So this is my 16-week macros and mindset program where I'm going to teach you all things macros, how to hit your macros every single day without having to track every day, and also how to eat more, not less. Plus, you will get life-changing mindset coaching inside of the formula. So make sure that you click the show notes and apply. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the Fit Figure Formula podcast. If you're new here and you're struggling with your fitness journey, I invite you to take a super simple next step. Click the link in the show notes for a free training. If listening to this podcast has been helpful, imagine being inside the Formula Coaching Program. You can apply for coaching with the link in the show notes. I hope to see you inside.